अनंत गिरी वैष्णव बिंद की जय, श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, समवेत वैष्णव बिंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रमानंदे हरि हरि, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ग्लोरीज हरे कृष्ण, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ग्लोरीज हरे कृष्ण, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ग्लोरीज हरे कृष्ण, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अवधेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिकी। मुखं करति वाचालं पंगु लंघयति गिरिं, जत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्यईश्वरं श्री गुरु। So today is Monday, December 26th. We are serving in Alachua Srila Prabhupada's morning program as he set up. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 15. So I'm going to read the synonyms so that while we are reciting we have idea. Dishantaha and being Parakayesu, the souls within the bodies of others, so Atmanam, their own true self, Harim Isharam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Mritake, in the corpse, so Anubandhe, together with its relations. Asmin, this. Baddha Sneha, their affection being fixed. Patanti, they fall. Adha, downward. Disanta parakayesu saatmanam harimisharam mitakesa anubandheshmin baddha sneha patanti adha. Disanta parakayesu स्वात्मानं हरिमिश्वरम् मीतकेश अनुबन्धेऽस्मिन् बद्ध स्नेहा पतन्ति अधा। दिशन्त परकायेषु स्नेहा पतन्ति अधा। शंता परकायेषु सत्नानां हरिमिश्रणं ते अनुबन्धेषु बद्ध स्नेहा पतन्ति अधा। दिशांता परकायेषु परमात्मानं हरिमिश्वरम् मृतकेशानुबन्धेऽस्मिन् वद्धा स्नेहा पतन्ति अधा। माताजी विशांता परकायेषु आत्मानं हरिमिश्वरम् नितकेशं वन्देऽस्मि बद्धस्नेहा पतन्ति अधा विशान्तापरकायेषु सात्मानं हरिमीश्वरम् अमनस्मि Translation and purport. Translation. The conditioned souls become completely bound in affection to their own corpse-like material bodies and their relatives and paraphernalia. In such a proud and foolish condition, the conditioned souls envy other living entities as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who resides in the heart of all beings. Thus, enviously offending others, the conditioned souls gradually fall down into hell. Purport. You like it? Materialistic persons express their envy of animals by cruelly killing them. Similarly, the conditioned soul becomes envious even of other human beings and of the Lord Himself, who dwells within everyone's body. They express their envy of God by preaching atheistic science or pseudo-philosophy in which they ridicule the fact that everyone is an eternal servant of God. Envious persons express their bitter feelings towards other human beings by creating wars, terrorism, cruel governments, and cheating business enterprises. The sinful bodies of such envious persons are just like corpses. Still, envious persons are enamored by the corpse of their material body and become further fascinated by their children and other bodily extensions. Such feelings are based in the false pride. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following words from Harivamsa. Aptatvat atma sabdoktam swasmin api pareshucha hitvadanna cha pashyanti sutta vaivam vidarshanti cha etaṁśyatam asuram vidhi lakṣanai purushādhanam. The Supreme is called Atma because He is found both in oneself and within others. Some persons become agitated by hearing description of the Supreme Lord. They openly state that there is no superior living being beyond themselves. Such persons are to be known as demons. By their practical symptoms, they are to be understood as the lowest class of man. That's the end of purport. So while I was reading this morning, I was putting a heading. The point of this attachment to the material body is actually beyond the material body, Satchidananda. And if we look from that angle, this verse is very beautiful. Because if we contemplate only this body and mental body, we will go nowhere, disappointed, depressed, suicidal, angry, and ultimately envy. But the designer, Krishna, the way out of his compassionate nature, we can see that the attachment of this material body, physical or subtle, if we analytically break down a little bit, then we'll see that is beyond this material body, which is Satchidananda. And so we all know that how this material body, physical body and subtle body and the soul, how they are distinctly different from each other. Physical body is something like I dress myself every day, I wash, bathe, I talk, I relate with you. And that's physical body more or less. Sometimes I identify Pran Govinda Das, it's me here. Everybody see me? That's physical body. But then sometimes we see that, like early morning, if I don't want to get up, I'm tired, physical body tells me, go to toilet. I say no, and physical body dictates to me, I will make you embarrassed. Prahlad Maharaj, in his teachings, first thing he told to his father, the sadhamanne asuravarjaduhinam sada samudvigna dhyam asatyah. Vittatma patam dhyamanda kupam vanam gato jat harim ashari. This physical body embarrasses with constant anxiety, hunger, thirst. So how this physical body came? Where is it coming from? That question bothers inquisitive devotees or so. Then we find the mental body or subtle body. This is the only verse I found in Bhagavatam or anywhere else. The Prabhupada put, this is 6.152 Bhagavatam, 6.152. Etat surasa kalanam lingam shakti trayam mahat dakte anusansmiti pungsam. Bhaya sukha moha arthidam. The subtle body is just like a physical body, is also made of 16 elements. Even though we say mind, intelligence and ego, just in a shorter version, but if you look at Prabhupada's explanation very nicely, that verse, he said the subtle body is like a mechanism that interfaces between the soul, Pran Govinda Das, servant of Krishna, and the physical body that Pran Govinda Das relate to this world and others. Etad Sorasa Kalanam. 51 of it. 6.6. Etad Sorasa Kalanam. Lingam Sakti Tayam Mahat. So, subtle body means, subtle body is a mechanism that interfaces between the soul and the physical body. Where this subtle body comes from? That question rises. Before acquiring material designation, the I, the soul, is pure. Even though in Tatastha region I was not engaged in devotional service, apathy towards the devotional service in the marginal state causes impersonalism. Soul is constitutionally positioned as a servant. His nature, eternal nature, is pure love. His eternal position, servant of God. His eternal function, service to God and God's people. But in the marginal state, that when the soul displayed this apathy, it was devotional service, impersonalism caused, attacked him, affected him. And as a result, loneliness arises, you can say, as a side effect from that. Merging to impersonal Brahman also affected since that time. Soul's desire to enjoy the material illusory energy product, the five object of our five senses. That time, Lord Krishna mercifully, he gives the opportunity of another person to take birth named False Ego. False Ego, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes on that verses, it binds the soul conscious being, tying up, you know, knots called Hridaya Granthi, you will hear in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam also, many places. Vidyate Hridaya Granthi, knots. So the ego that tie the conscious being with subtle and gross dead matter is the false ego. And that is produced by the union of Lord Shiva and Parvati. And that is the origin of subtle body, which interface. Now, physical body, you got it from your parents. Subtle body you didn't get from your parents. Subtle body you got it from the Lord Shiva and Parvati, who is the master and mistress of this material universe. When at that time, a particular consciousness which is endowed in Jiva Goswami's commentary on Shiram Jatha Dadi Vikara Vishesha Yoga. In Brahma Sanghita, Srila Jiva Goswami quote this. The four elements constitute this. Slightest aspect of pleasure potency, slightest aspect of cognizant potency, grinded, mixed together with quality of inertia and quality of minuteness. These four mix this subtle body coming from there. That's why all these verses in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, Uddharet Atma Atmanam Ayam Natma Bandhu, all these verses, that the mind is your friend, mind is your enemy, if you subdue mind by vairagya and practice, everyday chanting, then mind will become your friend or mind will remain eternally or permanently, as long as you want to be in the natural world, as the enemy. That's the cause of the subtle body. And then, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur writes, as a sleeping person dreams that he is active in the physical world without actually being involved in activities. When the dormant, indifferent living entity of the marginal potency exhibits even a little apathy to the service of the Supreme Lord and situates himself in a neutral, unchanging condition for even a little time, he is infected by impersonalism. That is why the conditioned soul desire to merge into the impersonal Brahma. Then, very interestingly, it says, But due to neglecting the eternal service of the Lord, thereby developing the quality of aversion to the Lord, he cannot remain fixed in that position. In this way, aversion to the Lord breaks his concentration of mind and establishes him as a master of the world of enjoyment, Maya. Then, endowed with the passion, Rajagun, he acts like a Brahma. And different bodies start taking place, unfolding. And each time we take a physical body, we have a subtle impression stored in the subtle body. Therefore, in every reincarnation, we find disturbance. In Bhagavatam 429, 32, I believe. At the end, Prabhupada's right, sometimes devotee feels very disturbed. Because devotee prays to the Lord, end of this life, I want to go back home, back to God. But so many impressions from unlimited life carrying to this. So how God going to give or dissolve all these impressions stored in the subtle body in one life? So sometimes devotee dreams, Prabhupada writes, the devotee dreams weird, strange, or they face something. Now, of course, if I bite my tongue, who should I blame? Because I don't like the pain I'm experiencing. But I beat on my own. Can I blame somebody so I feel some release? No. So responsibility has to be within me. That all these things happen in life, it's stored in the as an impression in the subtle body. Subtle body is not me. I am the conscious being. Consciousness comes not from subtle body, not from physical body, from the soul, me, the servant of Krishna. But subtle body routes or facilitates the consciousness, thinking, willing, feeling to go. From the through the subtle body, to the physical body and the physical world and with everything else, everybody within that. So whole position of bhakti is dissolving the subtle body, not the physical body. We will be still staying in this body, but the subtle body has to, all the impression has to dissolve. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes in Bhakta Loka, Pundarik Prabhu very nicely translated, that, let's see if I can read exactly what he says, so you will know. I can summarize otherwise. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that in the eternal state of living entity, prema, love of Godhead, is the only prescription and envy is the only prohibition. So two things we have to do. We have to develop love, but we also have to give up the envy. And the envy is like a big thing in this part of mansion. So, prohibition. This prescription and prohibition is subordinate to the living entity's eternal nature. The living entity imbued with prem and devoid of envy is the shelter of eternal transcendental mellow. Srila Prabhupada with Siddha Sarup Prabhu in Hawaii, you can see in Bhagavad, very nicely this discussion took place. Siddha Sarup Prabhu would ask Prabhupada, what is envy means? Srila Prabhupada says, envious means when someone has a rightful possession of something, but in your mind you do not allow him to have it. So then Siddha Sarup Prabhu asked Prabhupada, but if someone has a rightful possession or ownership, who gave that? Krishna, Supreme Lord gave. So actually we are envy to God. Prabhupada said, yes, that is the bottom line. our first offense is to Krishna. Vaishnava offense comes when we take the devotional path. Vaishnava offense is not the origin cause, but Vaishnava offense is the most deadly for a Vaishnava, for the devotees. But that comes only when you join in Hare Krishna movement. But the offense is still there with every living entity when they are not engaged in devotional service. We see the examples of Amogha in Chaitanya Charitamrita towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Mahabharata we see Duryodhana's enviousness. He was a spoiled brat, you can say. He was coming up with this idea that in future he's the next emperor. And then when the Pandava came to live with them from the forest, and Bhima, out of fun, he threw Duryodhana such a way that Duryodhana could not be defeated until that time, and the enemy started. And he became so envious that it ended with his death. We see Daksha. Daksha is a good example, Tamaharpur was explaining. And in Daksha's life, he even face to face had darshan of the Lord. He cried for the Lord. Lord even gave him blessing. Lord says, I'm pleased. Yet he was missing love of God. He never had love of God, even though he had darshan of Lord. Why? Only one reason. Envy to Vaishnava, Shiva and Narada. Kamsa, his enviousness, of course, towards Krishna, then Vasudeva Devaki, all this example. Mother Suruchi was envious to Dhruva Maharaj, but this was applicable to us because Mother Suniti, his real mother, told him before he left that you are going to have darshan of the Lord, but you're not going to be successful. Then Dhruva, young boy, 5 years old, he says, why, mother? Said, you have to give up one thing, this enviousness to your stepmother. Otherwise, it will become a thorn towards your step, towards attaining the highest goal. So envy is very deadly. And of course, Shishupal, we see that he's ended with envious, insulting Krishna. Vaishnavas, of course, does not take seriously of others' enviousness, rather they always try to bestow their mercy to those envious people. Srila Prabhupada has exhibited many times. That reminds me of Ekanath Prabhu, a famous devotee in Vrindavan. Somebody was very envious to him, and because he was becoming very popular in the village. So in Vrindavan they talk his life, how he displayed how to take care of the envy as a devotee. When somebody is envious to me or us. Of course, Narottam Das Thakur wrote a song that Hanumanji was showing his anger, greed, how to adapt in Sadhaka's life. So Ekanath Prabhu, he used to live like many miles far away from the Ganges, and he would walk every day to take bath in Ganges. So one day, this envious man, he was trying to find a way to disturb him or really humiliate him. So he could not find, so he noticed that he goes to take bath every day to Ganges, and when he came back, because it takes about like an hour to go take bath and come back. So he, one day when he came back, he spit over his body. The envious guy spit over Ekanath Prabhu's body as he was entering to his room. So Ekanath Prabhu folded his hand And he said, thank you. And then he went back to Ganges and took bath again and came back. And he did it again. And he said, thank you. And smiled and again went. And this way he went 8 times, of course 8 hours. I don't know how many sadhaka. I was thinking like, I don't know if I can do that, but he did for 8 hours. And then he gave up, the envious person gave up, and he fell at the feet, and some heart change took place, and he fell at the feet. He said, please forgive me, I'm so bad, I'm so envious that how can you do such a tolerance? He said, no, you are actually manifesting the Lord Krishna's mercy and Mother Ganges' mercy. He said, how did I manifest that? He said, because I always wondered what it would be if I get a chance to take bath twice or 3 times. I'm already happy by taking bath once a day or from the Ganges. But if I can take so many times, I would be so fortunate to purify by the food water, washed water of the Lord's feet called Ganges. So today you have fulfilled my desire. I'm so happy. Of course, that's very nice. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized this conception in Bhagavatam first canto, when Duryodhana was insulting Vidura. Vidura had a bow and arrow, and he used to guard his brother Dhritarashtra. But when he had a conversation with Dhritarashtra that how he should give up this royal position, because war is inevitable, and he should go with him to the pilgrimage of holy places and become purified by singing the glory of the Lord and visiting the holy path. But then Dhritarashtra says, why you come to this conclusion? He said, because you are supporting sinful people. So who are the sinful people? He said, he is your sons. How they are sinful? He said, they are against the pure devotees, Pandavas. Well, but right now he's not against. He said, yes, he's inevitable, and he's against also Krishna, because Krishna is in there supporting the Pandavas. So while Dhritarashtra was speaking, Vidura did not see that in the back actually Duryodhana and Karna was listening to the whole conversation. And of course Duryodhana got such a angry that he demanded, if there is anybody in the court loves him, then show your love for me by taking Vidura outside the court and beat him to death. But Vidura took it as a devotee, he took it as a mercy of Krishna. He always wanted to go holy dham and bathe in holy rivers and hear and glorify Krishna by singing his names and pastimes, and he wanted to hear. But he never got a chance because he felt duty bound with taking care of Dhritarashtra. But hearing this, Duryodhana wants to kick him out, he immediately felt happy and he paid obeisances to Duryodhana. He said, thank you. He said, are you crazy? I'm trying to beat you and you're thanking me? Because he saw Jogamaya's influence. That Jogamaya made these arrangements so that Vidura could live. So Prabhupada made a very nice point in that purport, that devotee should always see the presence of internal potency that can engage us in devotional service. Then external potency disappear. Now back to this translation and purport. Attachment to this physical body and subtle body causes us envy towards others, even to Krishna, then degrade ourselves to hell. There's so much understanding on this, but one thing very nicely we can see that, as I mentioned, the point of this attachment to material body is actually beyond the material body, which is Satchidananda. Because we are the body. As Satchidananda, that is our body. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the body. Krishna's body is Krishna. In Brajabasi, all the body is them. Nanda Maharaj is his body. Krishna is his body. Not that Krishna has a... Yes, Krishna has a heart, Krishna has a mind, Krishna has a senses. But Krishna is Krishna's body. This is the biggest difference between impersonalists explaining the deity and Krishna's, who is speaking Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada mentioned many times. Krishna is his body. His body is Krishna. Out of all the opulences, it's not that Krishna has opulences. Krishna is the opulences. His body is the opulences. Beauty is the holder of all power, all inconceivable potency, all fame, all knowledge is his body. Satchidananda body, so attachment to the body is natural in spiritual realm. And there's a famous verse in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 11th chapter, 58. Iti nanda adya gopa krishna rama katham da kurbanti rama manascha na bindan bhavabhedana. And every acharya gave commentary on that, that Nanda Maharaj and Brajabasis, Brajagopis, coward boys, cows, trees, birds, beasts, they are themselves the body and they are so much in love with Krishna and the paraphernalia of Brajadham to serve Krishna is the ultimate culmination of existence, of spiritual existence. Now in the translation it says that we are bound by the affection, I'm paraphrasing in the translation, and we are bound by the affection of corpse-like body, relatives and paraphernalia. But this is origin in Vrindavan. Here it is a problem. If we focus there, then we can get out of it. Srila Prabhupada emphasized in few lectures, sakam bijaru krita punya punja. Every day if you chant, if you follow four regulative principle, you follow these programs, then every day you putting in your spiritual bank to such an extent that one day you will experience you are the body. But in order to become the body, you have to get rid of this physical body and subtle body. To become the body, Satchidananda body. In this verse, it explains that how Nanda Maharaj, actually they are so much attached to the body of Krishna, the body of them, their own body, their own relatives, and they are all the friends, family, and brother dham. In this world, all these three things are bad. In the spiritual world, all the three things are real. And that is, we see. For an example, when sannyasi sometime comes to Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes, some sannyasis comes, they don't know that this is Supreme Personality of Godhead lives there. So they talk to Nanda Maharaj, they inform Nanda Maharaj that a big sannyasi has come to visit the village. So Nanda Maharaj welcome him and he make him sit down, wash his feet and take drinks and then offer him something and smile. Said, I'm so glad you have come. Then sannyasi asked, how is going? Are you endeavoring some spiritual program every day? Said, oh yes. So how are you doing? Oh, we love our son so much. We love him so much that whole day we meditate on his body, on his beauty, on his smile, on his walk. I even prayed to Narayan that I wish, the Prabhupada write this in Nectar of Devotion, Nanda Maharaj walking with his son, oh Narayan, please, life after life, let this boy walk with me and talk to me. I like to hear him, I like to hold his hand. So much in love with Here it says if you are attached to your relative, you will go to hell eventually because it will cause envy and other. But in spiritual world, this verse is actually the perfect verse that spiritual world, how they do. Nanda Maharaj is so much in love with Krishna that he is telling the sannyasi that how he loves his son more than anything else. He cannot live without me, I cannot live without him. Sometimes some sannyasi get bewildered. I have come to give him spiritual knowledge. He is talking about his son. So they intervene, says, tell me, Lord, how is your spiritual life? Oh, spiritual life is wonderful. Every day my son, he comes home and we bathe him and we put him in sleep, we sing lullaby song, all kinds of, and beautiful, his mother, Yashoda, put him to sleep. Sometimes Krishna cannot go to sleep. Then Yashoda sing Ram Lila. Then all of a sudden this boy get up from the sleep, instead of falling asleep, he said, where is that evil Ravana? I'll kill him. Then Mother Yashoda thinks, oh, this pastime is not good for falling asleep. So she changed the pastime. Everybody is in love with this boy. Sometimes sannyasis, the visiting sannyasis get confused. So they try to intervene. You have talked so much about your family and your son. What about next life? What will happen to you next life? Next life, we have no worry. Because wherever my son goes, we are going there. Some sannyasi get very bewildered. He said, this is very difficult to preach Krishna, God consciousness to this family because they are so much in love with this boy, not knowing that this is the supreme absolute truth. So like this, sannyasi goes, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes, sannyasi goes to the Brahmana society in that village, that the king is bewildered by his illusion of his son's affection and his wife loving the son and everybody is in love with the son. So they talk to the Brahmanas. Can you explain how is the spiritual life of this village going? The Brahmana says, maybe you can help us. He said, yes, tell us what happened. He said, we recite every day. We have thousands of Brahmana in Vrindavan. We recite every day. Narayan, Stuti, all these beautiful scriptures. But when we recite, we come with a deep emotional feeling for the God. But problem arises that when we meditate on Narayan, Nanda Maharaj's son walks by and he steals our attention. We cannot even meditate on Narayan anymore. We didn't even start, but this boy steals. Then we had a big meeting. Is it possible that somebody can steal our attention, attachment, which in this verse translation said our attachment to the body, family and paraphernalia causes us envious, then degrade to hell. Same thing the Brahmanas are saying, that attachment that he creates towards him, that we are bewildered, so we discuss, is it possible that Nanda Maharaj's son is God? Then after a while, some Pandit, Brajavasi Brahmana says, no. God appears in the Brahmana and Kshatriya, not in Vaishya. How he can be? He's just a innocent, he takes blessing from us. God does not take blessing like that. It's like difficult to grasp. So some or other, very confusing. Then we start reading again the scriptures. That's what we do whole day. And we do jagna. But every moment, the beauty of Nanda Maharaj's sons overwhelm us. And his every word he said, while he is going by, he look at us such a glance that we mesmerize. We forget what we read or studied. We are being deeply emotionally attached to his beauty form like this. You know how Lord Chaitanya did this, delivered this, some Brahmana outside Brajavasi. those who are the brahmanas are too much attached to the scriptures. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, it's not in the Krishna book, but it's in the lecture of Prabhupada. It's very interesting in Los Angeles, 1973. He says that the difference between the brahmana who Krishna and Balaram asked for some food and their wives, the difference was that they were attached to the scriptures and rules, regulation, not to Krishna. But they were attached to the scriptures and their wives were attached to Krishna and Balaram. As a result, they failed to attain the goal. Their wives got it. It's the same thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, that in the morning he would wake up and he realized this Navadvip is full of impersonalist Brahman. They are only celebrate about the wedding and funeral, is the biggest festival, not Janmashtami or other things. No Gaur Purnima those days. Nimai is still a young boy. There was a big festival, but was not as important as wedding and death, I guess. Funeral ceremony. So Nimai did a lot of mischievous things. One of them, he purified those impersonalist brahmana by doing some mischievous nature from Dwarka Lila, Vrindavan Lila. That early morning he woke up, just like we wake up for Mangal Arati. Nimai also did out of his merciful nature. He locked the door of all these thousands of brahmanas' house from outside. And only reason he did, because those brahmanas those days, you know, there is no toilet inside their house. Toilet in Vedic culture is far. You have to walk like 300 feet, 500 feet to go to toilet. And early morning, you know how important to go use the toilet. So all the brahmana woke up, but they cannot open their door because it's locked from outside. And they're trying to shake it, then their wife comes, "You waking up the children?" The brahmana said, "I need to get out. I need to go to toilet, but somebody locked the door." They cannot figure it out how to open the door. And it's very difficult. Then finally they looked it through the window and Nimai is laughing outside. Ha ha ha. "Nimai, you did it. He did it. This Jagannath Mishra's son." And he's laughing, cracking up. They cannot understand why. They are so absorbed on Nimai mischievous activities. Thousands and thousands of brahmanas. Until that day, they are impersonalists. Today, they started becoming personalists, meditating on the personal form. Not in a proper way, but in a forced way. So, of course, after a little bit delaying them, just them to become more and more absorbed on him, then he opened all this door quickly. He expended himself thousands and thousands and opened the door quick. And they walked out and Nimai running away. "Wait!" And then whole day they're thinking, "I can't believe Nimai did it." Next day morning they wake up. Who they remember as soon as you wake up? We wake up, we think of Krishna. Who they think? Until that, yesterday they didn't think of Krishna. Today they are thinking, "Nimai. I hope he didn't lock the door. Nimai, his mischievous smile." So this way Mahaprabhu forced them to meditate like this. In Vrindavan, this way, all the brahmanas, all the brajabashis, everybody, and the family relation, you know the trees in Vrindavan? So Sanatana Goswami Pad writes, trees are the family members of the Vaishnavas. Like when you love your family so much, Prabhupada writes in 7th canto, I believe 11th or 12th chapter, in one purport, I remember. If you love your family so much that you feel your Krishna consciousness growing because of your support of the family member, then you can take the whole family with you to spiritual world. And you wonder, like, how they display their family together in spiritual world. Well, here, Sanatana Goswami Pad explained on this verse, "Iti Ajjananda Gopa Krishna Rama Katha Muda." Na bindate bhava vedana. They never felt any pain of this. Who are they? The family? The father is the big trunk. Who are the mother? The vine goes around the tree. The daughters are the flowers. And the sons are the fruits. And Krishna every day comes. He climbs the trees, hugging the husband, father, mother, smell the flower, eat the fruits. Whole family is with Krishna every day. Whole family can be in spiritual world. They every day they reciprocate with Krishna like this. And then when Krishna leaves, they feel separation, the flower drops, she cannot tolerate the separation feeling. And in the morning, Jogamaya make a beautiful song that Krishna is entering the forest. Immediately flower is blossoming, all the daughters of that family. Here I am, Krishna, waiting for you. The fruits are bloomed very nicely, ripened. The vine, the mother, is very well dancing in the wind. Everything is like wonderful in Vrindavan. So the attachment to the family over there is Krishna's very close, dear friend. So if we focus on Brajadham and Brajabashi and our Krishna consciousness family value, then we can understand this verse is not talking about devotees, it's talking about non-devotees. Non-devotees, yes, they need to go to hell to change their new body. Hell is not a pain. Hell is two things. Hell is, Prabhupada writes, 3rd canto, 20 chapter. One of the purport Prabhupada writes, hell is required. Hell is needed. Why? For two reasons he gives. One reason is, when somebody misuses free will, he doesn't care anything, doesn't obey anything. He goes down, down, down to a point where he completely burned out. He says, is there any help? Well, that place is called hell. So they need it. That's mercy actually, to turn back towards Krishna. And another is, to transmigrate from one body to another body is not like this. We are conscious beings. Consciously we have to accept the new body we are going to get. So you all know the first time Prabhupada said, at least 3 times in Vedabhyas I found, the Prabhupada said how a person, human being, one place he said minister eating cake, and how am I going to become a pig? It's not easy. A human being will become a pig. So Prabhupada elaborates, I don't know where he got it from, but very sweetly elaborate. He said that that person who was usually eating cake and nice food stuff, not devotee I'm talking about karma, but he sees any woman in this world wants to have a sex, but as a human he cannot, as a pig he can, because pig consciousness, there is no mother, daughter, all are same. So in order to become a pig, Prabhupada says, he will given a body and a place locked up, that he will be starving to death and no food for a long time. He will become so upset, angry, but frustrated, but no food. After a long, long time, little stool will be dropped in. And he will, because he still have a thinking of human being eating cake and smell the stool. Disgusting. But there's no food. After some time, he touches it. It's disgusting, but bring it close to the nose. Try to taste it. Not bad. That's it. He is qualified to become a pig. Prabhupada didn't say where. I thought maybe somewhere where he can have this facility. So hell is required also. We understand that. But as a devotee, we don't need either one. So for us, it's not. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. We have a few minutes. Any? Yes, yes, Mata. Yes. Yeah, I hope I get it. Every children, because I had two children also, every children has a rightful privilege to sit on the lap of father. Believe or not, I used to hold my son Gopal, he's taller than me now. I used to hold him like this on a couch every day before I go to work and I would fall asleep. I would fall asleep for a while too, around 9 o'clock. I remember months and months. It was such a bond. It was a nice bond. I see that he turned out very nice, devotee, and it makes me happy. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on his father's lap, you know that. But Mother Suruchi says, if you want to sit there, you have to have a right of ownership, same word I'm using, to be born from my womb. Otherwise you cannot. Even though he has a rightful ownership, because Suniti is also wife, but she didn't allow. But he had a very strong, he's a Kshatriya, strong anger and enviousness. So that makes sense? Then Dhruva Maharaj wanted to ride on his father's lap, but she didn't allow. And he was holding that grudge against her. And of course, in the dialogue with his birth-giving mother, Suniti, Mother Suniti was very loving, compassionate. But she wanted her son to be successful. And he says, in order to be successful in spiritual path, you cannot hold on to any grudge, envy or anger towards anybody. And I don't want to make a big fuss about it, but as a devotee, I think no devotee should suffer. If any devotee suffers, including me, it's all due to my own past karma. But you may say, well, past karma is finished, most of the devotees. Yes, then offense. No other reason. Offense is a big deal. Offense is a big deal. Most of the devotees actually suffer due to the offense. But sometimes it's very difficult to point out. Because we are not supposed to be pointing out to them. Supposed to be correcting myself. And find fault within me that will save me. Is that okay? Any other comment? Yes, please.
This point about Nanda Maharaj being his body, I understand he's his spiritual body, but where is the, I think this is the first time I've heard this. There are other Nitya Siddhas like Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they had material bodies that they used in Krishna's service. They were self-realized. They were, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a Manjari. The previous acharyas were Manjaris. So how is it that some Nitya Siddhas come in their spiritual bodies and some don't? How is that delineated?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually elaborate this little bit also in Jayavadana, that those who are following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will get two bodies, one with Lord Chaitanya, one with Krishna. Those who are the Nitya Siddha, there is a verse, Skana Adarshanita Dina Sada Saha Biharina Nityananda Guna Sarve Nitya Siddha Mukundavar. Nitya Siddha means Nitya Ananda Guna Sarve. They are endowed with complete blissful all the time. Abhigna Akhila Klesha. Never any klesha. Klesha creates these five reactions that everybody suffers. Abhidda, Asmita, Raga, Desha, Abhinivesh. This is like a very details about karma. Karma produces these five things, Pancha Klesha. This Pancha Klesha has nothing to do with them when they come down to this material world to preach. They take a sadhaka form which is eternally kept only for a particular purpose of their service in the material world. And that sadhaka form will act just like any human being will act. Take birth, growing slowly, going to school, reciprocate just like people get sick, they get, but they are not affected by it. But in, due to their humility, they may feel and they express, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed that so beautiful song that Prabhupada sing, Garbha Vibhushana, that my ornaments is the false pride, Dambha, all this. I'm always seeing others' happiness as my misery and others' suffering as my happiness. Those are actually they feel, but because unless they feel, they cannot give the proper prescription what we need. You know that pastimes, it's a long pastime, but Narad Muni, when he pressured the Lord to give him a privilege to experience how the conditioned soul actually goes through pain and pleasure of the material world. So it appears like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explaining that Narad Muni never, even though he used to come and preach, but he never knew actually how the soul, assuming these two bodies, goes through so much turbulence. So much. So Narad Muni used to come and preach, but he did not be fully experiencing like conditioned soul. So for an example, when Prabhupada came, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur came, as you mentioned, they did not act under the spell of material nature. But their body, their activity looked like ours. Their activity looks like ours. He wants to be a millionaire. Sounds like Pan Govinda Das also wants to be a millionaire. Prabhupada also desired that. Just looks like ours, but they are not like ours. But they are given a body, it's called sadhaka body, that's why they have a three. One is Nitya Siddha in Krishna Lila, one is Mahaprabhu's Lila, and then one when they come. This temporary body is reserved just for them. They take, they act just like a human being, they go through, and Krishna, Jogamaya may allow, according to Krishna's will, for them to experience something, not like conditioned soul, but some aspect, so that they can give the proper medicine according to the suffering condition of the soul. Like, say, for an example, practical, like when that drug leader he came to kind of hang around with the devotee and ask Prabhupada, and somebody told Prabhupada, oh, he sell LSD. And you know, Loguna Beach Temple was built by their money, actually. Alex, I met him too. And so then he asked Prabhupada, how is the spiritual world, happiness, light? Is it so much happiness? How much? Prabhupada said it's like an ocean of LSD. Now, according to Shastra, there is no such thing. Ocean of LSD. But he joined. He joined. Because of that word. And of course, later on he found out, the Prabhupada captured him. So like this, they act such a way that they speak such a way that we can relate. So it looks like they have got a material body, but actually they do not have a material body. Their body is fully, fully engaged in devotional path. To Madhusudan Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada writes to Madhusudan Das in Vedabhesa that Bhaktivinoda Thakur went through impersonalism. He actually came to a point that he doesn't want to believe anything. He even says that I don't accept Krishna as a supreme God. He came to that point, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur went so many things. And then finally he came to fall in love with Lord Chaitanya, and then he saw, oh, Lord Chaitanya glorifying Krishna. Then he fell in love with Krishna. So it seems like any conditioned soul like coming, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went like this. But Prabhupada write to Madhusudan Das that, yes, you may see like this, just like Arjuna was put under the Jogamaya spell to act like a builder. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was put like that, so that he could search out what is required, this conditioned soul in Kali Yuga right now. But they have a spiritual body. Those sadhaka body, even though it looks like a Prabhupada had a liver failure, but those are just for us to see that, okay, if another person can do it, I can do it, I can do it. So Prabhupada reacting with the devotees and responding with the devotees such a way, it attracts that, yeah, okay, Prabhupada encouraging, I can do it, I can do it. But if he was in a spiritual body, spiritual level, and didn't reciprocate with my state, I think it would be difficult for me to do. Make sense? But it is spiritual body. That's why those bodies are worshipped. And that's why we call samadhi. Samadhi, we put those bodies as an object of worship.
What was the original reference that you were using?
This is in Jaiva Dharma also. Yes.
Another question. I read an analysis, I think it was from either Dravida or Jayadvaita Swami, that Prabhupada's use of the word envy is based upon British English, maybe old British English. Mm. It was taught in the Indian schools, and it was used in two ways. One, hatred, and another, I want to have what that person has. Now, I think you started out with this understanding that I don't like that this person has more than I do.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Prabhupada said that to Siddhasara Prabhu.
Yeah, but that apparently throughout his writings, you know, he used it in two different ways. So like intense negativity towards someone, Prabhupada also used that as envy. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's very true. That's reminded me. Actually, there's a two concept on that. You can actually break that paragraph, Prabhupada's feeling. That I want to be successful in my field at all times. I do not want anybody to compete or come above. This is like very powerful.